Lord, this morning we pray that that would truly be a prayer in our heart, that we would really seek after you and desire more of you and ask you to fill us, that you would just saturate us with your grace. We come this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for sending your son to us. Thank you for giving us all that we need for life and godliness. We praise you for all the promises you've given to us. And I pray as we look at this world and see what's happening, we would truly be satisfied with Jesus, to know that he meets the deepest needs of our heart. And we come this morning thanking you for that and reminding ourselves of that and praying that you would help us really to set our affections as Jesus taught us above, not on earth. Because the Bible says as believers, we're dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Help us remember where our life is. It's in Christ. Help us remember where our hope is. It's in him. Help us remember the great pursuit of our lives is him, more of him. And so we pray this morning that you would just meet those needs. If there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, if there's anyone here that doesn't surrender or hasn't yet surrendered in their heart to you, I pray even now they would bow their hearts and know that you're here. And they would say, Lord, here am I. I yield myself. I trust in you. I commit myself to you. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I ask your forgiveness. I ask your cleansing blood to be applied to my account. I pray that you would enter into my life and heart and the Holy Spirit would come and transform my life into a new creation. And you would raise me up. You would raise me up to be seated with Christ even now. Even though my feet physically are planted on this planet, every believer is in Christ in heavenly places on the right hand of God the Father. What an amazing truth in the scriptures. Help us remember where our life is, our hope is, the best friend we have is, the one who died for us is. We praise you and magnify you. We bring our burdens. Lord, you told us in the Bible in this world we'll have tribulation. We certainly see that and experience that. And I pray especially for anyone here this morning that feels under the weight of trials, just crushed by them or weighted down so hard they don't know what to do. They're confused and troubled. I pray in the name of Jesus, you would just give them grace as they yield to you, not only to yield themselves, but yield those trials, to yield that situation, to present that trial to you, to recognize that all things truly work together for me. And there's times that you deliver us from those trials. There's times that you just open doors and things change because we ask. There's other times that that doesn't happen, but you give us grace to be able to walk through those trials with our faith intact, with our understanding that, Lord, you're teaching us things not only about ourselves and this world, but about you. There's the fellowship of your suffering. There's the presence of the Lord in the midst of those hard times when we don't know who to turn to or what. You're right beside us. You're in the fire with us. And we come this morning and thank you that we're not alone. We may feel alone. The devil may tell us we're alone, but we're not. The Bible tells us you're with us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You will go with us even to the end of the age, even through the process, as the Bible says, of death itself. You are there beside us all the way. And there one day when our eyes are opened in heaven and we see you, the one who our soul pursued after on this earth, the one who our soul loves now, one day we'll see you face to face. We'll give you praise and glory and we'll look in your eyes and you'll be looking at us with eyes of love and joy. We are the great prize, if you will, the great goal that you had coming to this planet, dying on the cross for us, for your bride, that you may have that bride perfect and cleansed by the blood of Christ presented to you on that great day when we're there in your presence. We give you praise for that. May you be glorified this morning as we follow you. Open our hearts up to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. I believe our youth are in with us this morning, so we appreciate you guys being here. We're going to be in the book of Joshua in our journey. We're continuing to go through the book of Joshua. Let me mention a couple of things. I was asked a while back, just if you have a child in the service, if they get a little noisy or whatever, if you'll quickly move out into this lobby or something, it just helps people to focus on the Lord. And we also have a nursing mom's room that you can sit in there and listen to the service. It is music or the sounds piped in there. Just in case, we have a great nursery that's running. We encourage you to put your child in there so you can be without distraction and just learn the word. So that's our goal. So we appreciate you doing that. So, and if the child gets a little loud, the ushers will probably ask you to step outside in the lobby, and I'm trying to make the usher's job easier. So. Okay, we're in the book of Joshua. Let me mention in chapters 13 through 22, that passage, that whole section is all about the inheritance and the dividing of the land and the boundaries of all that. Incidentally, if you don't have a Bible and need one, if you'll hold your hand up until the usher gets to you, we'll be in the book of Joshua. But in chapters 13 through 22, it's a long section. It goes through a lot of this. But there's two passages I want to look at this morning. I mentioned last Sunday morning, incidentally, a lot of our ladies were gone on the retreat, and we were certainly praying for you guys, and I heard the Lord worked. We're very grateful to have you guys back. Somebody mentioned last Sunday how quiet it was without you guys. So, but I also want to remind you that the cafe is downstairs in the fellowship hall after the service, or before the service, excuse me. As a matter of fact, we do have a VBS training class after the service, so I was. It's not good if you are wanting extra food to go down there after the service because we're going to be meeting down there. But enough said, right? In our study last Sunday morning, I mentioned that in the 11th chapter of Joshua, the Bible tells us that the seven nations, the seven armies that were in the land of Canaan were defeated. The Bible says in chapter 11 that the land had rest from war. And what we're seeing is this, that it's the picture of Christ on the cross, how he died on the cross, and the battle's really over. Jesus died for us. And so what we're seeing in all these other chapters is, okay, Jesus died for us, or in the case of Joshua, the battle basically is over, and yet God required every individual tribe to go and take their inheritance. The only thing that were left were just the sort of the skirmishes, the rabble, what the remnant of all the armies that was left. And it represents believers. It represents the fact that Jesus died for us, and God wants us to go and inherit and claim our inheritance. And that doesn't mean there aren't fights. The Bible talks about fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. The Bible talks about having on the whole armor of God. Why? We're still battling, if you will, but the great battle's already won. And so it's a great picture in that study of Joshua how the land rested from war, it says in the 11th chapter. All the armies were defeated, and yet these individual tribes are now moving into their territories and fighting whatever remnants are left. Matter of fact, oftentimes what you'll see is when you read this, I'm reminded of the tribe of Judah, you'll read where they took their inheritance and they conquered Jerusalem. And yet we see when David became king, he's going back into Jerusalem and having to defeat the Jebusites, okay? So it shows us how Judah even did not take all the inheritance. So we see all these remnants still in there. And what I want to say to you is that God wants you and I to understand the boundaries of our inheritance. What I mean by that, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a calling upon your life. God has gifts that he's given you. He's got talents that he's given you. He's got a territory, if you will. That territory is certainly your family or your home or your job or whatever ministry or whatever volunteer work that you do, whatever that may be. Everybody's different. And every individual has got to move and follow Christ and just take all that God has for me. And it's not always easy. It's a challenge for us to do that. But God wants me to do everything he's called me to do, to leave nothing undone, if you will. And to use the gifts and recognize the gifts and what has God told me? What has God said to me? What has God promised me individually? And that's not always easy. But this whole section really is about me or each tribe. Think about how the Bible talks about the body of Christ, the hand and the foot and the head and the eyes, all the parts of the body. So every individual is made and designed differently. We all have different callings and different ministries and different places and all that. And it just clearly represents every tribe that's moving in. And there are times we are in a, quote, tribe. What I mean by that, there may be a group of people or individuals we're serving alongside that are called in the same area. And so we move in that area as a corporate body of Christ. God's called us as a church in certain areas, but God's called us individually. So what I want to do this morning is look at Caleb and then also look at Joseph. It really uses the term Joseph, but remember, Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh had half the tribe of Manasseh was on the west side of the Jordan River. Half the other tribe was on the east side of the Jordan River. I think when he talks about the tribe of Joseph, we're talking primarily about Ephraim. Remember, Ephraim was the second born, but he became the main tribe in the tribes of, or the family of Joseph, or rather Joseph was split into two tribes. So we're going to look at Caleb, an amazing testimony of his faith. Because we by faith move into those areas that God's called us. We may not feel adequate. We may not feel that it's easy. There may be, we'll look at this morning, there may be giants in the land. There may be great obstacles that I've got to face in order to do what God called me to do. I think God designed, I'm reminded of how God, even in the book of when they were going through in Exodus and the those other books in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, how God allowed them to fight certain areas. Even in Joshua, it mentions the fact that God allowed them to fight so they would learn to war. They would learn to battle. They would learn to fight. In the same way, God has left battles for you and I to face so we can learn that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. That we would learn how to stand in the evil day and having done all to stand. I'm reminded again, and I mentioned this last Sunday, how one of the mighty men of David stood in a field of lentils. And in the study of David's mighty men, the idea was that was his inheritance. And the Bible talks about this great battle that he won because he refused to give his inheritance up to some group of Philistines that wanted to run him out of that. And my point in all that is that you have things in your heart. You have things in your life. Maybe you're battling things now. There may be areas that God's spoken to you about you being called and doing certain things, and you've not done that. And I want to ask you this question. Why haven't you, and this is a challenge, why haven't you claimed your inheritance? I think that's sort of as I'm looking at my life, thinking, what have I done? Is there anything that I've left undone? Are there things that I'm very aware of that I need to do? Or are there giants still left in my life that I've not yet conquered that are hindering me from taking all the things that you want of my life? And so we need to look at what happens in the life of Joshua and, of course, in the life of Ephraim or Joseph and realize that Joseph failed completely. But Caleb, by faith, he took the land that God promised him. It was an amazing testimony. So God peppered these two accounts in the context of chapters 13 through 22 to show how faith, by having faith and moving into those areas where God promised us, even if we don't feel adequate, even if we feel like there's giants there, how faith is so important. We just trust God. We're responding to what God has said to us. We're moving into those areas. We're claiming everything that God has for us, whatever that may be for you individually. Very important. So look in the 14th chapter, if you will, of the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Let's read, if you will, verses 6 through 14. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua to Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." Remember when he was one of the 12 spies that went into the land. Remember, and when they came back out, this is before they entered the promised land, when they came back out, 10 of those spies said, "We can't take the land. There are giants in the land. We are grasshoppers in their sight. They'll squash us. There are walled cities, great walled cities." And the Bible says those 10 spies, and they went in there and they came back with a negative report, they turned the entire nation of Israel to not believe and trust God. But Caleb and Joshua said, "These people are bred for us. God is more than able to call us to go into this area." So when Caleb came back and gave that report, look what it says here in verse 6. "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea." So me and Joshua, he's speaking to Joshua. In verse 7 says, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day and said, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain on which the Lord spoke in that day. You have heard that in that day how the Anakim were there. These were giants. And that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will provide with, will be with me, excuse me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and his inheritance. And Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, what an amazing testimony of this man named Joshua. I want to point out a few things regarding what he said to Joshua when Caleb came and made some statements. First of all, I want you to notice that his faith was founded in God's word. Look what he says here in verse 6. It says, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." So his faith, he never forgot what God said. He never forgot what God's word was to him. Now let me just say this, that's very important regarding the idea of coming and taking all of our inheritance. There are so many things that God's promised us in the word. He's promised his presence, he's promised his peace, he's promised his joy. We have victory over death, we have victory over the fear of death. There's so many other things. But here's what I want to say to you. There are individuals in the body of Christ who they come into the kingdom of God, but they're basically not concerned with the word. They're not really focused on the word. They like maybe perhaps worship. They like the emotional experience and the freedom of worship and the feeling of God's presence. But when it comes to studying and knowing the word, there's not the concern. There are other people that just, you know, it's like, well, I got other things to do. I'm reminded of what, Paul told Timothy, the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the word being taught. But what I want to say to you is this, that I need to know the word because my faith is based upon the word. In other words, the more that I understand sanctification, the more that I understand the sealing of the Spirit, the more that I understand God's promise of the baptism of the Spirit, the more that I understand that he's with me no matter what, the more that I understand the doctrines. Now, please understand this. We learn the doctrines to love the Lord. We don't learn them as just an intellectualism. I want to know the Lord, and I want to know what God's done for me. And I want to know what his power is and what the promises are. And I want to study the Bible so that I'll know those things that God's given to me, God's taught me. So it's not just that I do love the worship. I do love the emotions and the feelings, but I want to know and understand. In other words, I want to know the boundaries God's told me that I have. I want to understand the teachings of the Bible and dig into those things so that I not only I know that, okay, what is sanctification? What is redemption? What is the sealing of the Spirit? What is all these things that the Bible mentions? It's all based upon this great love that Jesus has for me. It enables me to love him. I understand more and more as we study the Bible, as we show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I begin to understand and realize, wow, look what God's told me. Look what the word is. Look what this means. Look at how God, it's God that fights our battles. It's God that gives the victory. It's the whole armor of God, the spiritual warfare we've been looking at in our study of Joshua. Well, all that's rooted down particularly in the New Covenant, the New Testament. My point is this, my faith will be based upon my understanding of what God's word says. If I don't understand the word of God, then my faith's going to be weak because I really don't even know what he said. So I come into my inheritance when I want to claim my inheritance and I don't realize the promises. I don't realize what this means. I'm not grasping the enormity of the truth contained in the teachings of the New Testament, the New Covenant, and the Old too. And when I understand that, it strengthens my faith. It strengthens my understanding of the promises of God, what God told me. There are a lot of mysteries in the Bible that I don't understand, but God has taught us certain things and showed us certain things. He has showed the old man, the Bible says. God has taught us these things. The Holy Spirit has come to guide us into all truth. In other words, Caleb remembered every word that God spoke. He remembered everything about that promise. That God had promised him not only the area, but he wanted specifically the mountain that God promised him, which was Hebron. He knew exactly where Hebron was. He knew exactly the boundaries of Hebron. He knew this is what God promised me. And he understood it. It was not some general, you know, yeah, God this and God that, God loves you and God's going to take care of things. No, he wanted to dig. He wanted to understand exactly what does this mean to me. Does that make sense? Our faith rests upon Scripture. Here's my point. You and I are going to face battles in our life. If we don't understand the teachings of the Bible, the doctrines, the meat of the Word, then our faith is going to be weak. Why? Because faith is based upon Scripture, based upon the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You know, I have believed, therefore I've spoken. We believe what God tells us. And God has spoken to us, and God has revealed these things to us and shown us. He's told us, for instance, that in the last days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be before the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to get bad. But he's told us and promised us we will have the strength that comes from the Lord, this power that he gives us. And that's important for me to know that. So when I'm in the middle of the battle, I'm not looking to myself. I'm not resting on my own strength. I'm looking to the Lord. And that comes from the knowledge of the Word. Does that make sense? We've got to understand and dig into the Bible. We can't just be, well, I just like the feelings and I'm not really concerned about the teaching of the Bible and the teaching of the Word and what all these things mean. I'm not interested in that stuff. If you knew what I'm talking about, you would be very interested. I want to know what he's promised me. I want to know what Jesus has done. I want to understand it the best that this little puny mind can, okay? And these things, as the Bible says, are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal the depth and the breadth and the width and the length of the love of God. And I realize what sanctification is or redemption is or repentance is and all these things we talk about. I see the love of God. I realize what God's done. And it's the more and more you do that, the more amazed you are at him. The more you're built up in your understanding of who he is. The more you love him. And you see, the more you love, why do you love him? Because you understand what he did. You see the depths of it. You see the breadth of it and the length of it and the height of it. You're amazed that he would love you the way he does. And so when he makes this statement, I'll never leave you or forsake you, you realize that when you go into your inheritance, he's right beside you. And no matter how you feel or what it looks like, he's right there beside you. He will never leave us. He's the one who fights our battles. And so my point is, as we come to know him better through what he expressed in the Word, the more we love him. And perfect love casts out fear. And what that means is simply this: I love the Lord. And if he tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. If he tells me to go here, I'm going to do it. I love him. And he loves me. And he's not going to lie to me. He's not going to tell me to do something that he won't enable me to do. He makes me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Faithful is he that called me, who will also do it. He does it, not me. And as we grasp that, as we understand that, we love him more because we understand the teachings and the doctrines of the Bible. We grasp it. We understand why Jesus died. We understand the enormity of our sin. We understand the absolute length and depth and breadth and width of how far away I was from him and how far he reached, how far he came down for me. It just enables me to trust him. We grow in our love for the Lord. We grow in our, okay, God, you want me to take this land? I'm going for it. Because this is what you've promised me. It's very important as believers that we understand this and we get a hold of it. Look also in verses 10 and 11. Caleb also mentioned that his faith never weakened over time. Look what he says in verse 10. Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive as he said. Why? Our days are numbered. As said so many times, we are indestructible until God's done with us. We have to know that. So that removes every bit of fear, every trace of fear. I'm in God's hands. He'll take me when he's ready for me and not before. He won't be late. He won't be early. And that's a good comfort. So in verse 10, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. Look in verse 11. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Let me ask you a question. Think about what he said. Now, I certainly understand that Caleb's referring more than likely to his physical body. But I would say more than that. Because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. It's not a physical battle we face. It's a spiritual battle. And what he's saying is regarding this whole statement regarding our connection is like this: they're strong in faith. That he was strong in his faith. He went in there, and when he came back out, he said to everybody in Israel, These people are bread for us. All these people in these, God's going to absolutely wipe these people out. Let's go in there and take the land. And what is he saying right here? He's saying, look, I want the land. He's saying the same thing now that he said 45 years ago. These people are bread for us. He's as strong in his faith now as he was back then. And it was faith in what God said. It was faith in God's promises. It was faith what God, he understood what God wanted to do. He understood in some ways the power of God and the enormity of who God was. This is nothing to God. And his faith never wavered. He was strong in faith. He was a very dynamic individual who, when God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And God's promised me this land. God's told me this is what he wants. And I'm not concerned with who's in there or how big they are or whatever big the cities are. It doesn't make any difference. If God told me, that's it. Why? Because I love him. I know whom I've believed. And I trust him and I've seen his power work and I've experienced the power of God in my life. He saved me, transformed my life. He's not going to lie to me. He's not going to deceive me. This is an important part of just the fact that Caleb's faith never wavered, never weakened over time. Let me ask you a question. What about you? As we see the end of the age coming and things getting worse, is your faith strengthened and growing, or is it getting troubled and weakened? It gets back to that statement I've said before, and it says, I think it's Hosea, if we can't walk with the footmen, how can we run with the horses? If in the day of peace we're struggling, what's going to happen when everything falls apart? Here's my point. If I don't take the land now, what's going to enable me to do it later? If I'm struggling now being obedient to the Lord, what's going to happen when everything falls apart, worse? That's why it's so important that you and I as believers, we focus on the growing of our faith and understanding faith. And we look at Caleb and we study his life and say, what is it that enabled Caleb to take Hebron? What is it about Caleb that enabled him to come to Joshua at the age of 85 and said, I'm as strong now as I was back then, and I want this mountain? It was his faith. He trusted God and believed what God said. You see my point in all this? The battle's over. In the 11th chapter, they won the war. But now every person's got to go into their particular area of calling, of ministry, of service, of whatever it may be, of job, school, family, in faith, and take whatever God has for you and manage it the way God wants it done. And that requires that you trust him, that you have your faith grounded in the word, that your faith is strong. And that you're not leaving things there that are still undone. You're not leaving errors of your life that still aren't taken. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 21 about Abraham. Think about Abraham and go back to Caleb. Here's what it says. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Isn't that Caleb? 85 years old. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Didn't even stagger. Didn't waver, it says. Giving glory to God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. I am absolutely, why? Here's the deal. You see, the reason we study the doctrines and the teaching in the Bible is to come to know the Lord. You know, the person that just studies the Bible for intellectual knowledge is a Pharisee. I mean, that's just a lot of head knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. If you study the Bible to know the Lord, to pursue Christ, as that song said earlier, we need to be satisfied with who Jesus is. If that's the reason, we want to understand him and what he's saying to us and the depth of it and how amazing it is what he's told us. And the more that I realize that, the more I love him. And so if he tells me to do something, why would I doubt? Perfect love casts out any fear. Perfect love for the Lord, it's perfect. Fear has torment. Fear says, there's giants in the land. I can't do this. But this love for him is focused on him. And Caleb had that. Therefore, his faith never weakened over 45 years. Just an amazing testimony. Neither did Abraham's. What are we doing this morning? What we're doing this morning, we're studying these guys in the scriptures. We're studying particularly Caleb. And we're looking at the fact that he went into this amazing area, very difficult area. These were famous giants that lived in those areas, and he took it. And we're saying to ourselves, in effect, how did Caleb do this? What enabled Caleb to take this land when God's told me to do this or do that or whatever it may be, and I'm struggling? What is the difference between me and Caleb? And so what we're doing is we're studying to understand if there's areas, or maybe I've taken a lot of the territory, but there's some of the territory that God promised me still there. Anyway, it's just important. Look in verse 12, if you will. This faith enabled him to face the giants. Look in verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain in which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard in that day how the Anakim were there, that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord had said. These giants that are in the land, what are these giants? It could be fears. It could be a lack of peace. It could be a service or a ministry that God's told me that he wanted me to do. There's all kind of giants. Every one of us has giants. Please understand that. Nobody in this room that follows Jesus doesn't have giants. Your giants are not the same giants that I face. I've got giants. We all have giants. Everybody's got challenges. Everybody's got issues. Everybody's got things that they struggle with. Could be covetousness. Could be sins like lust. It could be things like just envy or greed or fear. It could be things like, trusting the Lord. It could be all kinds of giants. But Caleb ultimately said, look, I'm going to face the giants. The giants that I have to face. So you may have had, maybe something's happened in your life and it's a giant and it's created enormous problems in your life. And the lasting repercussions are just, they continue to this day. And it's just this giant, maybe of bitterness, of unforgiveness. It's hard to trust the Lord. It's hard to step out in faith. Why? Because of what happened. And it's a giant in my life and it's hindering me from moving into the fullness of the promised land that God promised me. It could be areas of ministry where God put this on my heart and I'm running from it or hiding from it. I have all these issues in my life. And well, what's hindering you? That faith. Faith is important. Caleb was able to face the giants in his own life simply because he believed what God said. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, here's what it says. Therefore, my beloved, as you have obeyed, not as in my presence always, he says, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. In other words, face your own giants. Don't run from them. Don't cower. Don't ignore them. Don't go around them. Don't, just pretend they're not there, or maybe one day, or we say, well, this is the cross I got to bear. No, Jesus bore the cross for us. He defeated the devil. If it's hindering you from taking all that God's promised you, then there's an issue here. So that's what he's saying about working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it's God that works within us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's the one. Work out my own salvation. What does that mean? It means I've got to take the territory God told me. It doesn't mean I save myself. It just means you've got to follow Jesus for yourself. You've got to do what he's told you to do. What has he told you to do? Are there things that you aren't doing that he spoke to you about, or you know that you're maybe personally ignoring? Not dealing with. And Caleb's faith caused him to do that. And also look in chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. There's something that's said about him regarding these things, and that is he wholly followed the Lord. And that's what it says over and over and over again. A very important part of what he said back in these slides. Look, if you will, verse 14, is it? 13 and 14, here's what he says. Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. It's about absolute commitment to Christ. You see, what I want to say to you is that some people have a hard time taking all their inheritance because they're not wholly following the Lord. They're not completely surrendered to whatever it is that God's saying to you. In other words, if God's told you, okay, you are a husband, for instance, and the head of your family, take authority over that. Take the inheritance that God designed for you as a husband, as a father, and manage that and pray over it and be responsible spiritually and follow the Lord wholly, completely. If God's called you to be a mother and raise kids, and you take that responsibility, that ministry completely, and you dedicate yourself to, Lord, how do you want me to do with regarding being married and having a husband or having a wife or raising kids or in my job? God's gave me this job. What does it mean to follow Christ completely in my job? Where I am truly being a light. I'm not just doing things to make a paycheck. There's a spiritual impact of that. And I want to make sure that in every area of my life, I'm completely, wholly committed to following Christ. You see, we have the idea, well, that's supposed to be for pastors. Pastors are supposed to be committed to the Lord. But everybody else is not supposed to be. That's just, where does the Bible say that? I'm saying to you, you have ministry. You have a calling. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. You have territory, specific boundaries that God's given you and call you to. Are you wholly following the Lord and completely surrendered in His life in those areas? I want to challenge you this morning, just go for it. And Caleb did. But look very quickly at Joseph's failure. Look in verse chapter 17. We got to move pretty quickly here if you don't mind. First of all, in verses 14 through 16, chapter 17, this lack of faith in Joseph. So it starts really, it's looking at verse 14. The children of Joseph spoke to Joshua and said, why have you given us? Now, again, Joseph is Ephraim and Manasseh, but this is primarily speaking of Ephraim. Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua and said, why have you given us only one lot and one share of inheritance? Since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us. Now, in other words, God's blessed us. How come we're so restricted? Or if Christ died on the cross, how come I'm struggling with these same things? Verse 15. So Joshua answered them, if you are a great people, if you're so big and tough, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you. Then look at verse 16. It says, but the children of Joseph said, the mountain country is not enough for us, for all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both of those who are of Beth Shean and then his towns, those who are of the valley of Jezreel. So there was this fear. We're afraid of them. What does it say to us? It means that there are areas like, this is really hard. I don't want to deal with these things. I'm afraid. I'm concerned. There's giants. This is too big for me. I can't handle it. I've been trying for years to deal with this. And it's not gone away, or I'm still struggling with it after all these years. See, this is the sad part about this whole study of Joshua and Judges. It's the sad story of these people did not take what God told them to take. I mean, the armies are defeated. Go for it. And so we're looking at this tribe of Ephraim and then, of course, half Manasseh. And we're saying, what was their lack of faith? What was the result of their lack of faith? Fear. Fear has torment. They didn't have faith in the Lord. They didn't trust in God. All they saw were giants. All they saw was the enormity of the situation. You see, they didn't study the Word. They didn't study the Scriptures. They didn't look at what God promised and the boundaries and say, look, my focus is on what God said to me, not on these giants. As Joshua said when he was 40 years old, these giants are bred for us. I mean, we read the story about a guy named David. Think about David. He faced a giant, one of the Anakim. He was from Judah. You know, he faced one of these giants. How did David kill him? With a nuke? Did he nuke him? Did he get a Abraham's tank out there to wipe? No, he threw a rock at him. He threw a little stone and down he goes. I mean, if you think about it in that light, it's like, wow, this is nothing to it. Ah, but can you imagine these buffed up men over there in the army, you know, muscle bound and trained all their life to fight, and they're terrified of Goliath. I'm telling you, they're bred for us. These challenges, these giants, they're nothing. Just take a rock out and sling it in faith, and this giant's going to come down, and you'll cut its head off, and it'll be done. Instead of being coward, you know, Goliath kept coming out day after day to challenge all the armies of Israel, and they were all cowering and running from him. And that's what happens in a believer's life. They've got these giants that are tormenting them, and that are coming out of their cities, and they're saying, you can't take me, and whatever it may be. And these things kept coming up, and they're just restricting you, and there's this fear and anxiety. And that's unfortunately the way that Joseph was. Joseph's failure was because of all this. It caused him to fear. Also, verses 17 and 18, he was challenged by Joshua. Verse 17, Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim, Manasseh, and said, "You are a great people. You have great power. You shall not have one lot only, but the mountain country shall be yours." In other words, what he's saying was, send me somewhere else. Take me somewhere else. No, you're a great people. You're a mighty people. You won't just have one lot, but the mountain is yours. Go take it. So he's not giving into that. Jesus doesn't give in. He doesn't say to you and I, "Well, look, you got this issue that you hadn't dealt with. Don't worry about it. Let's just move on somewhere else." No, the Lord wants us to take this land. "But the mountains, the country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its furthest extent shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong." You're going to drive them out. So Joseph's faith was challenged by Joshua, saying, you know, or excuse me, by Joshua, saying, "Joseph, come on, man, just go in there, take the, you know, like I say, think about David. He just took a little rock out of the stream, a little pebble. And when you think about it like that, it's like, wow, he didn't nuke him. He didn't get about 15 guys, you know, shooting bow and arrow. He just took a rock out of the stream and threw it at him and hit him and he's down. Because God was with him. Because God did it. Because God wants to be glorified. So when this giant falls in your life or my life, it's like, wow, nothing to it. Matter of fact, what happens is you say, you know, I'm just following the Lord. I'm just doing what Jesus told me to do. And he's the one that's got the victory. And then finally in verse 16, I want to point this out. In verse 16, it says this, that their faith, lack of faith rather, Joseph, restricted their inheritance. So this is the sad part. When you look at Ephraim, it's just a little part on the map. It's just they didn't take all that was theirs. They left this area just unclaimed. That's the sad part about it. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of faith, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Think about Joshua. Through faith, he believed, and he was patient. He waited 45 years. And yet God promised him 45 years earlier you would have this mountain. But through faith and patience, what do you and I need? We need faith and patience. We inherit the promise. You know, let me challenge you this morning. We're going to share communion. I want to ask you this question. Have you claimed your inheritance? Has God put things on your heart? Or maybe there's giants that you're still fighting and you've been fighting for years? You say, how do I do this? We've looked at that in a way in our study of the book of Joshua, how it was the Lord that guided Joshua how to fight against Jericho. God told him, "I want you to surround it 6 days. On the seventh day, go around it 7 times and shout," you know, the story. And what I'm saying by that is that God's going to tell you. God's going to direct me. This is my inheritance. What does God want me to do? How does God want me to deal with this? But it has to be dealt with. And what Joshua was saying to Joseph was, Joseph, face your giants. The mountain country is yours. You are a great and strong people. You're as strong as anybody else. But the difference between you and Caleb is dramatic. Caleb's, chomp at the bit to go take it. You're sitting there so terrified of these giants. And I think the same happens in a believer's life. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. And I pray as the worship team comes up and the guys get ready for the communion. Father, we just want to pray that you would help us to think about these things. To remember that Jesus died to give us victory. Jesus died for us, gave his life for us, so that we can have eternal life. We come this morning to thank you for all the promises you've given us, for the word of God and for these things. May we be strong in faith. As the Bible says, strong in faith, giving glory to God. We recognize our faith is in a person. It's in you. We're not looking to ourselves to do this. We're not looking to ourselves to conquer this giant. You're the one. As Caleb said, if the Lord be with us, we'll take it. If the Lord's told me to do it, he'll do it. I don't even have to worry about it. Just like David. If God's told me to go out here and fight Goliath, he's going to go down. And David was strong in faith. He never wavered. because he knew that God was with him. And he knew all he had to do was step out and trust the Lord and be willing to sling that rock, and the Lord would guide it to where it needed to be. And all of a sudden that giant has his head cut off, and we're thinking, wow, nothing to it. I can't believe it's that easy. It's easy for the Lord. So, Father, I want to pray for this fellowship. I want to pray as a church that we do everything you want us to do, that we are faithful to you, that we are not restricted by lack of faith, but that we're trusting you. But I pray that not just as a church in general or as a whole, but individually, as individual members of our fellowship, as individual families in our fellowship. I think about tribes of individuals that are like-minded or whatever it may be, and here's our land, that we as a group or a smaller group within the whole. There are so many ways to apply this. But I thank you that you are a God who has brought us out, as that song sang earlier, in the waters. The waters will not overwhelm us. The waters will not overcome us. We'll walk on the water. Why? Because it's by faith that we move into a deeper place in Christ. And these giants have got to be taken out because they are restricting and hindering us from claiming and taking the whole land that God promised. Father, if our lack of faith is a result of our lack of studying the Bible, lack of learning the Word, then forgive us. May we dig into the Word, and may the Word dig deep into us. May our faith be rooted in the truth of Scripture, in the reality of what the Bible tells us about you, about your power, your grace, your presence, your promises, your faithfulness to us. So we grow in our love. There's perfect love for you, cast out fear. What's the concern about these things? We love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. Therefore, we just obey you and trust you. And these giants of intimidation are going to come crashing down. We want to have all the things that you've promised us and leave nothing undone. Because the battle really was won by Jesus on the cross.